You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service, and we're currently going through our series called Cross Check, and we're gonna go through the third installment tonight. And if you've ever missed out our past installments, if you're wondering what this series is all about, basically this series is all about reminding us what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because in our walk with God, as we live our lives to honor God, a lot of times we get so consumed with just asking things of God. Lord, can you answer my prayer? Can you do this for me? Can you grant me this prayer request or something? We're so consumed with, Lord, can you do this for me? And oftentimes we forget or we miss out that there's actually something expected of us as followers of Christ. There are things that we ought to do as well. There are things on our end. Firstly, in week one, just a quick recap lang, we talked about self-denial. Meaning because now we are followers of Christ, as the Bible says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's no longer just doing what we feel like doing, whatever we want to do, no holds barred na, kung say feeling mo buhaton mo, no. It's no longer that. We do what honors God. As we've learned in the first week, if someone were to follow Jesus, just to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. End of the day, we subscribe to the Lordship of Christ. We deny ourselves and embrace what he has to say or what he has called us to do. On week two naman, we talked about the hard truth. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to His truth, when it comes to what God is speaking to us or what He wants us to understand or know, we cannot be selective about it. Di pwede nga we treat the Word of God or God's truth na parang eat all you can buffet. Diba kung mag-buffet ka, pili-pili lang. Maybe you want the meat, the steaks, yung pasta, yun na lang, kay pinakabok spaghetti, nakaunin mo. You tend to be selective on buffet. Pero sa Word ni God, dili pwede selective. We have to embrace the entirety of the Word of God. Even the parts that hurts us, that hits us, especially those that convicts us, we need to embrace that, yung hard truth ni God. Now this week naman, for our third week, we're going to talk about the path to greatness. When we hear the word greatness, perhaps you've heard of this term, heard of the greatest of all time. When you hear the word greatness, there's some people, there are some individuals that they're at the pinnacle of their field, of their sport, of their craft. Now, when you think about greatness, there's certain individuals that comes to mind. For example, if you love basketball, now, diba, kung basketball, maybe it's this guy for you. Michael Jordan, he is a 6-time NBA champion and a 5-time MVP. Si Jordan is pretty iconic. Even years after his retirement, other people still know him. He's a household name. And for some people, arguably the greatest sa basketball. Maybe not anymore, I don't know. But for some of you, maybe Shajod. Kung sa boxing naman, it's this guy, si Muhammad Ali. Sa iyagikan ang statement nga, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You guys know that statement. That comes from him. He's part of some of the most exciting, thrilling boxing matches in whole history. In fact, some would argue that he's the greatest athlete of all time. Another great athlete naman is Usain Bolt. This guy is literally the fastest man alive. For all of you who wish nga, naku, super speed or something, it's this guy. You know how fast he is? So 100 meter dash, he holds the record for the fastest. He can run a 100 meter dash in 9.58 seconds. Imagine that. Ako mudagan ko 100 meters. Mga 2 minutes the guy. For this guy, less than 10 seconds, 100 meters. Can you imagine that? He has several gold medals pa. He's currently the fastest man alive. Imagine if you had that speed. Di nakamalit sa klase, di nakamalit sa work. Mas una pa ka sa pedicab. You're quicker pa. How we wish we could be like Usain Bolt. Last but not the least is Michael Phelps. This guy is pretty extraordinary. He's the most decorated Olympian of all time. When I say most decorated, he has the most Olympic medals in all history. He has 28 Olympic medals, 23 of which are Olympic gold medals. That's how good he is. That's how amazing he is. Now, I'm sharing all of these things because a lot of times when we think about someone who is great, someone who is the greatest, we look at people who've achieved much success. So when you think about wanting to be great, ang nasa mind nato is, kailangan mulamang ta sa other people. Labuanay. We need to be above everyone else. We need to out-succeed everyone else. Just like those guys. When we think about being great or being amazing or just the best of something. But what if I tell you that the path to greatness, when it comes to a believer, when it comes to a follower of Christ, is actually different. That even if you're not the most skilled, like katong mga athletes, you're not the most wealthy ba or something, you can still be great. What if I tell you that the Bible says, or when Jesus says that the path to becoming the greatest in His kingdom is radically different? It's not the way the world values greatness. Iba, naka-flip upside down ang greatness ginaingon ni Jesus. And for that, can you turn your Bibles to Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28. We're going to be looking at this as we talk about greatness. It says there, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom.' Jesus answered, 'You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.' He said to them, 'You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father.' Verse 24, when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers, but Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many." Before we get to the story we just read a while ago, some background on the book of Matthew and some context. The book of Matthew was written to a certain audience. Actually, all the gospel accounts, may primary audience sila. Now, for Matthew, his primary audience were the Jews, the Hebrew believers. His goal was to write an account that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God, he's the Savior, he's the one that they've been waiting for. Is writing this down to convince, to tell the Jewish people, hey, atong ginahulat, naana, it's Jesus. And that's what the whole message of the Gospel of Matthew is. Now, interestingly, for Jesus naman, when it came to the scene, kasi people have been waiting for the Messiah, a lot of people were greatly shocked because he was not the Messiah they expected. For them, the Messiah is this person who would liberate them from their earthly oppressors, from the Roman Empire, from all other peoples who were oppressing or treating them poorly. He's like this liberator. But for Jesus, yung mission niya lahi. He came to this world to liberate us from a greater oppression, and that is our sin. Now, for the people naman at this time, they could not understand that yet, or they did not understand that yet. A lot of times when Jesus taught and spoke to people, nalibog sila sa ginaingon ni Jesus. Because a lot of times, Jesus would teach something countercultural. Kumuni ang mainstream thought sa culture, Jesus taught something that went against it. Not just for the sake nga, di siya nag-mainstream lang, but he wanted them to understand that if this is how the world values and thinks, that's not how you should operate in. You should operate in the way God wants you to operate, to think, and to live your lives as his people. For example, in the first week, we talked about self-denial. If the world is all about you, you do what you want, what you feel like doing. Don't let anyone tell you to stop doing what you're doing. It's your life, your choice, and all that. You know what Jesus says? It's not about you. It's not about what you feel like, what you feel like doing, what you think like. It's not about you. Mark 8, verse 34 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To deny ourselves. Very countercultural thing ang ginoon ni Jesus. It's not about just doing what you want to do. It's about taking up our cross and following Jesus na. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, going to our story, it says here in verse 20 na the mother of the two sons of Zebedee, two people who are part of his apostles, si James and si John, their mother came to Jesus, kneeling before him, and she asked him for something. May request siya para kay Jesus. And her request was, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your kingdom." She's making this big request. Now, for us to analyze this request and for us to understand what's happening here, let's look at muna what led up to this request. Why is it that she asked this on behalf of her sons? And even her sons as well probably asked that can Jesus. In Matthew 19, verse 28, it's a chapter before this, Jesus had mentioned about thrones. Diba, tong mama ni James and John nag-ask ni Jesus, "Can my son sit at your left and right nga throne?" And where did she get this, or they get this? From Jesus. It says here, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on the glorious throne, you who have followed me," this is Jesus talking to his apostles, his disciples, "you have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So in other words, may knowledge na somewhat of thrones. You see Jesus, that we who follow him, one day, in the next world, we would sit on thrones. So it wasn't foreign to them, kanyang mga throne na topic. In verse 29, it says there, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Meaning, there's a great reward for those who follow Jesus, suffer for his sake. For those basically who left everything behind to follow Jesus, my great reward waiting for them. You know what happened in Matthew 19. Now, just before this naman, sa itong story na to, just a few verses before our story, in verse 17, Jesus set called his disciples aside, and he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. This is the third time Jesus had spoken about his death. Parang nagka-intensify na yung possibility, or the time is about to come na he was gonna die. So in other words, for the apostles, they know about the 12 thrones, the reward waiting for them in the next life and all that. And here comes Jesus telling them for the third time, the Son of Man is going to die. For the third time. So parang, okay, hapit na siguro ng Son of Man mamatay. It's almost na siguro. We have to do something. And what did they do? They asked for the chief seats, the throne in the right and the left, to ask to be seated next to someone on his right and his left, especially if that someone is of prominence. Say, nag-dinner mo, na VIP diha. Kung nakastupad niya, especially in their time, their culture, that means you're also like the next most important person. In other words, for them asking Jesus to be seated at his left and right, dili ni siya like, para lang makachika lang sila. This is more than just a seating position or seating arrangement. There's something here. To ask for the chief seats is to ask for position, for status. Meaning, they wanted to be above their fellow apostles. There's this self-importance. There's this something that they're seeking above their fellow disciples. In other words, James and John, through their mother, basically, had what we call entitlement. What is entitlement? Entitlement, from the Cambridge Dictionary, is the feeling that you have the right to do or have what you want without having to work for it or deserve it just because of who you are. And we see this attitude in Mark 10, verse 35, in a different gospel account that still talks about James and John asking Jesus to be in their right and in their left. It says here, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Jesus, buhata among ganahan may tabo. That was their attitude. That was what they did. Parang, we want to be at the place of prominence, at your left and at your right. We want to be greater than the other apostles. There's 12 thrones. We want to be at the best seats in the house. That was what they were after. They wanted it to be greater than the other apostles. Because just like any of us, when you think of someone who wants to be great, diba, dapat mulabaw siya sa other people. But here's the thing. This is not how you reach the place of blessing and honor in the kingdom. Lili labunanay with each other. It's not that. And as Jesus is gonna respond to them later on, it says here in verse 22, Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. You wanna be at my left? You wanna be at my right? Guess what? You don't know what that means. He says, are you able to drink the cup I am to drink? They said to him, we are able. Kaya na muna. Unsa lang kainom? Unsa lang drink? Milo, kape, we can drink that. We can do what you are asking us to do. But here's the thing. For Jesus to say, can you drink the cup that I am to drink? This is just no ordinary drink. But Jesus telling here pertains to his suffering. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says here, my Father, if it is to be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Do you know where Jesus was speaking here? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, moments away from being captured and being led to the Jewish authorities and soon to be crucified. In other words, Jesus is talking about there. He's talking about the cup. He's talking about his suffering, what he will experience. In other words, to ask to be seated at the right and left of Jesus was to ask to partake in his suffering, was to ask to suffer as he did. And without knowing fully what that meant, James and John were like, kaya na muna. We're gonna do that. We're gonna take that cup. The highest places of glory are reserved for those, basically, who went through the deepest places of suffering. And here, palang first thing, you would see na flip. When we talk about being the greatest, having the most glory, it's not someone who's above everyone else. It's someone who suffers the most. Who will receive the greatest reward in heaven? Those who paid the greatest price. In the economics of the kingdom of God, you want to be the greatest among everyone. It is he who suffers the most.
It's not he who has the best, no, the most easiest kinds of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What affliction you're experiencing now, the pain of suffering for Jesus' sake, there is reward waiting when we physically die and be with God. Yes, we will all have eternal life, experience eternal life, but yung reward, we will have that reward, we will reap that reward as we suffer for Christ's sake. When we are afflicted for the gospel, we are building up a greater inheritance of glory in eternity. That's far greater than any pain, any suffering that we are experiencing. Now going back to that story, but Jesus said, can you drink the cup that I can drink? And they said, yes, we are able to do so. Basically, Jesus was saying, I'll be exalted to a place of glory through suffering. Would you want to take that route? Yun yung question ni Jesus. Ganahan mo, kani ang way ninyo ma-exalt mo. And without thinking much, they said, yeah, kaya na mo na. But here's the thing. Si James, si John, after Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the guards came and all that, here's the thing. Mark 14, verse 50 said, and they all left him and fled. What did the apostles do? When the guards came, when they came to take away Jesus, they all left him and fled. Big talk for James and John to say, we want to be at your right and left. We can drink the cup. But guess what? They all left him and fled. Not one of the apostles stayed with Jesus. They all left him and fled. And that goes to show you that they didn't know what they were talking about when they said, we want to be at your left side and at your right side. Verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. So we've been talking about James and John here. But again, there are 12 apostles. So when the other 10 naman heard, hey, ang mama niya James and John, nakikistorya ni Jesus. When they heard what had happened, that they had asked to be at their left and at the right of Jesus, they got angry. To be indignant means to be angry because something is unfair. For them, unfair ni. Not unfair for the right reasons. Luke 22, verse 24, gives us a glimpse of the attitudes of the rest of the disciples. It says here, a dispute, this is still talking about the same thing actually, the same situation. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. In other words, nangisog ang 10 other apostles because they were like, nga na mo naguna na mo. Walay palaban ni mama. Ano ni gibuhat ninyo? They were angry at what James and John were doing. Ninja moves ni. Ano mo nag secret meeting ni Jesus diya? Why did you ask to be seated at his left and right? They were arguing who would be the greatest. That's like saying, hey bro, pilay na preachan ni mo. Tulo kabok na preachan na ako. Ako, 10 na preachan na ako. O sige, 10 imo ha. Pero 5 kabok na cast out na ako ng demons. They were just arguing among themselves who would be the greatest. And then finally, in verse 25, says here, Jesus called them to him and said, nagpa-meeting na si Jesus, James, John, kamong 10, alin mo dare. He gathered them and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. In other words, this is common knowledge for them. You know that the Gentiles, or the rulers of the Gentiles, the non-Hebrew or non-Jewish people, their masters, their rulers, lord it over them and their great ones exercise authority over them. To say that they lord it over them or they exercise authority over them comes from the Greek statement kaya kureyo, which means dominant dictatorship. Parang picture a dictator, a tyrant, terrible king, someone who's dictatorial, who's telling everyone, do this for me, luhod ka, do whatever I tell you to do. That's what the Gentile leaders were doing to their subordinates, to their constituents, to their people. That's their leadership style. That's how they were because they wanted to feel that they're the greatest. And Jesus tells them, if that's how the Gentiles do it, here's the thing. Verse 26 says, it shall not be among you. It shall not be among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. If in the Gentile world, being the greatest means lording it over others, telling others, do this, do that, luhod ka na ako, follow ka na ako, palabwanay, I am better than everyone else. That kind of attitude. That's the Gentile mindset. Jesus says, it shall not be among you. Whoever would be great, if you want to be great, you must be your servant. You have to be like a servant, someone who's willing to serve. Now, when you think about servants, this is what we usually think about. Servants, waiters, maids, helpers, people who do simple things. In fact, the word servant here comes a Greek word, diakonos. That's where we get the term deacon, which means one who does menial things like throwing the trash. And for sure, the disciples, you could picture the apostles, they've been arguing who's the greatest. And suddenly, Jesus said, if you want to be great, you have to be a diakonos. You have to be like someone who does menial things, who's willing to serve. And they were like, you could probably imagine the apostles, parang, Jesus, why? Nga naman kani, it doesn't make sense. Servant? Great? When you think of someone who's great, we think of kings, emperors, billionaires, successful. Parang, that's our image of someone who's great. But for Jesus, it's a servant. Verse 27, he continues on with this line of thought, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. The word slave there means doulos, which is lower pa than a diakonos, which means a bond slave, someone who has to serve someone else for life. That's what it's trying to say. And the last verse says here, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Those last three verses, pretty radical, give flip again in Jesus, ang whole ideological thinking of people when it comes to greatness. You want to be great? Even if you're not the most wealthy person, you're not the most skilled person, you're not the most famous person, even if you're not royalty, you can still be great in the kingdom of God. Because the path to glory is the path of service, the path of pain. It's about serving others. You want to be the greatest? Here's the thing, church. Be willing to serve. Be like a servant. Ask yourself, have you ever asked yourself these questions? What sacrifice have I made to serve Christ? What pain have I endured to serve Christ? What sacrifice and pain have I done to serve Christ, to serve others? And you might ask, nga naman kailangan tayong mag-serve? Why do we need to serve? What does serving had to do with being great? Nga naman in ana, doesn't seem to connect. Diba kings and rulers, they have servants for them? Nga naman kita mag-serve ta? But here's the thing, the greatest person ever lived did the greatest act of service ever as well. And that is Jesus. In verse 28 says there, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Can you imagine that? God came down this world as Jesus in human form, and he had all the status, the authority, the position, the right to command everyone just to worship him, to honor him, to serve him. He's God. He created the universe and all that. And yet, he came not to be served, but to serve. Instead of being served, he served us. Even if we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, Christ came to serve us. With something that we could never outserve. It is through his death on the cross. He gave up his life as a ransom for many. To say ransom means to redeem something, to buy or to pay something so you can get it back. And for Jesus, he gave up his life so that he could get back, save us, redeem us. We serve basically because Jesus served. He exemplified service. The greatest person that ever lived served. And here's the thing, he was exalted. He was seated at the right hand of God. He was exalted for his service, for his act of service, for his suffering. In other words, if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, the values of the kingdom of God is to out-serve one another. Let that sink in, church. If you're here today and you can't serve, think of it this way. God served you. Jesus served you. How can we not serve Christ? How can we not serve other people? A lot of times we get so consumed with what we need, what we're looking for. I'm not downplaying our needs. I know we have serious needs, serious things that we need to pray for from God. But far from it, we get so consumed with usay kailangan lang nato, and we forget to take care, to outserve other people. In fact, in the early church times, to be a Christian was to be synonymous with being someone who is compassionate and generous. For other people, the other people, pag may nakita lang person na compassionate, generous, who take care of widows, orphans, for them, that would be the Christians, the followers of Christ, these radical people who would help out other people in need. Regardless of their own status, whether they were wealthy, they were not so wealthy, they would help out one another. And that's my prayer, church, as we go to the path of greatness. If you want to be great, the path of greatness is to serve others. I pray that God will instill in us compassion for other people. But rather than just asking God, Lord, what can you do for me? Can you answer my prayer request? We would ask God, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do for you, Lord? How can you use me, Lord God, for my campus, for my company, for my community, for my family? Lord, how can I be used? How can I serve others? How can I be a blessing to others? When was the last time, church, you paused, just thought and asked God, Lord, how can I be used to advance your kingdom? Just to reiterate this point, we serve because Jesus served. The path to greatness is a path of service and suffering for Christ's sake. So if we want to be great, we have to serve.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.